Would I have any young people like to talk to me today? You made it. You've done it. You've done good. Hey there. I like that. Do y'all like bananas? You don't like bananas? Do you think I'd be a good banana? What do you think? You say, oh, I don't think it'd be very good because it looks all beat up. But I found out that green bananas aren't very sweet. But the best bananas are kind of beat up, got freckles on them. See how they got freckles on them? Yeah. And, you know, the only way I can tell, though, is to pull that off and look at it. Look at that. Do you think that's a sweet banana? You don't think it's sweet? Would you test it for me? Would you try it? Tell me if it's sweet. Is that sweet? It is sweet, isn't it? Oh, the best banana's been beat up a little bit. It's sweet. Is that sweet? That's good, isn't it? You want a piece of banana? You know, that's like what we're going to talk about, Jesus. Yeah. Oh. Riley wants a banana. You know, when Jesus is inside of you, you know, life beats you up. But when Jesus is inside of you, you want a banana? When Jesus is inside of you, he makes you sweet. And he makes you better. And he's real. You know, if Jesus is not inside of you, you're kind of bitter and you're green. But when Jesus is inside of you, you get sweet and kind. You want a banana? No? You know, you already got it in your mouth, don't you? All right. Did you like that? Okay. All right. So we want Jesus to be inside of us. So we're going to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Well, you're so precious. Y'all better build a fence. Them blue eyes, she's going to get all the boys coming after you. Let me say a prayer for y'all. Father, I thank you for these precious children. I thank you, Lord God, for sending them to us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for you. And I pray, Lord, that when the time is right, you'll put Jesus in their hearts and they'll begin to walk and talk with you. I love you, Lord, and we love you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for being here. We're going to go to Children's Church. Yay! Be careful. Yay! When I did that in the earlier service today, I asked the kids, I said, have you ever had a banana sandwich? And they went, no. And I said, am I up north? I grew up on banana sandwich. Did you ever have banana sandwich growing up, Jerry? Yes.
I knew of peanut butter banana sandwiches, but never had
one. Never had one. That was a staple on our table. We always had, no matter what we ate, Grandpa always said there had to be a plate with banana sandwiches.
Now, I'll eat a banana with ice cream and chocolate syrup.
That's good, too. But a banana sandwich is better for you. All right, y'all gotta go out. Have fun. Thank you, Wendy. Go learn something. Aren't they precious? If you would, turn with me your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. And if you look on the left-hand sheet of your bulletin, it'll give you the page number. It's 1600 or something. I can't remember the page number. But it's written in your bulletin. Right across from today's message. And today our message is on the Lord's table. A wonderful, wonderful time for us to do this. The Lord's table. We're going to read responsibly first out of 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 33. So if you open your bulletins and look at the right-hand sheet, you'll see the responsive reading. I ask the audience to read the bold-faced text in unison, and I'll read the non-bold-faced text. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 33. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said,
take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying,
this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another.
Always love coming together for the Lord's table. It's always a special time. And during the Lord's table, we examine what the Lord did for us. But the Lord's table is not just a time to examine what Jesus did for us, but it's a time for self-examination. We look at our own hearts. It says in verse number 28, it says, let a man examine himself and see, and only then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That word examine there is a Greek word, dokimazo. It means to put it to the test to see if it's genuine or not. If y'all have ever taken a large bill, like a $50 bill or a $100 bill, and paid for something at a store, you've probably seen them pull out a pen and they'll mark on that bill. And what they're doing is they're looking to see if it makes a certain mark, they know that that's a fake bill. If they don't have a pen to test it, what they'll do is they'll take that bill and they'll hold it up to the light. And they'll look for the watermark of the president on that bill. That's what dokimazo means. It means to look for the watermark. It means to test your faith to see if it's genuine or not. Not the person on the pew next to you, but for you. You know, so often we get to looking at other people, we go, compared to that person, I'm pretty good, so I'm going to go to heaven. Can I tell you this? None of us are worthy to go to heaven. All of us sinned sometime this past week. You said, how do you know that, preacher? If you're drawing air, you sinned sometime this week. It happens. You know what sin is? It's falling short of the glory of God. And you have not lived for God every single day. There's days when you got up and thought nothing of God. That's a sin. You went through your day and didn't think a thing about God. That's a sin. You may have said a dirty word. Don't tell me what it was because I don't need it in my head. You may have shook your fist at somebody in traffic. Or you might be sitting there right now feeling self-righteous. That's the worst sin. To sit there and think that you're not a sinner at all. So the Bible tells us to hold ourselves up to the light, to compare ourselves to Jesus and ask ourselves, am I where I need to be? You see, the Corinthian church wasn't doing that. When they come together to worship the Lord's table, Paul talks about them getting together and he says, y'all are fighting at the Lord's table. He said, one of you you're coming in, it's like eating meat and y'all are all jostling for places. You're making it all about yourself. That's not what the Lord's table is about. A Lord's table is a time for me to examine me and me to examine, am I actually doing what God wants me to do? If I'm doing what God wants me to do, then it's going to show in my life. And though, as I use that illustration of the banana with the kids, though life beats me up, I'm going to be sweeter on the inside because of Jesus. If Jesus is in your heart, he changes you. And let me tell you this. You don't have to work to be justified. But if you're justified, you will work for him. Now, I will say that again so you'll understand this. You don't have to work to be justified. But if you're justified, you will work for him. Your life will be a fragrance. It'll be a blessing. You won't add to the problems of the world, but you'll try to take away the problem. And we desperately need that today. We desperately need that today. In this world today, it's so dark. Have y'all noticed how ugly people have gotten lately? It just seems like it's just going downhill. We don't need more of that. We need more of Jesus in our lives and in other people's lives. You know, the apostle said, examine ourselves. He says, look, in verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what's he talking about? He explains it in verse number 30. For this cause, if you're eating and drinking unworthily, Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, God disciplines his children. And I'm glad God disciplines his children. I really am. But what God says is this. He says, if you don't examine yourself and you're carrying stuff in your life that you didn't need to carry before you partake of this table, then you can get weak. You can get sickly. You can sleep. That don't mean to fall asleep. I've seen some of you want to get on the nods when I preach sometimes. That's when a shout will come out and you'll wake up. Amen. But that doesn't mean going to sleep on the back row in a church. When a Christian dies, the body sleeps, but the soul goes to be with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But what he's saying in this is, if you're not taking the Lord's table right, you can get sick. You can bring condemnation to your own life, because God takes seriously what we do at the Lord's table. So we examine ourselves. How do I take it unworthily? Well, I carry a grudge in my heart and take the Lord's table. The Bible says on the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed that he took bread and he offered it. We cannot carry a grudge. Do you know that we're not? I've seen pictures of the Last Supper. And if you look at the Last Supper, you've always got Jesus in the middle and 12 disciples there. That's not true. The Bible says that Judas Iscariot was sent out before the Lord's Supper started. Jesus gave him the sop and he said, go and do what you've got to do, but do it quickly. And as soon as Judas left, Jesus took the bread and he broke it for the remaining 11. The Lord's table is not for the lost person. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then the Lord's table is not for you. Amen. What you need to do is, before the Lord's table, say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And I realize I can't get to heaven on my own. And Jesus, I believe you died for me. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And if you say that, you receive him, then the Lord's table is for you. Because you come into the kingdom of God. But the Lord's table is not for a lost person. It's not for a person to take who has a grudge in their heart. If you've got a grudge in your heart, you need to lay that down. Everyone offends somebody sometime. Amen. Amen. It's always going to happen. The Lord's table is a wonderful time of unity where we all come together and we celebrate a common salvation that we have through Jesus. The Lord's table is a time where we're supposed to put that away. If you've got hatred in your heart, you need to lay that to the side. If you're carrying a grudge, lay that to the side. If you've sinned and got sin in your life, you need to go to the Lord before you take the Lord's table and say, Lord, I confess that sin before you and I lay it down at your feet. And you know one thing that I love about the fact that Jesus died for me? It says in Hebrews chapter 10 that he once and for all died for all my sins. He made payment for everyone. Oh, praise God for that. Amen. Because if I had to work my way to heaven, I'd be working myself to death trying to get nowhere. But Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews 10, paid once and for all for our sins. So taking it unworthily means taking it in a manner that's unloving. Lay down your sins at his feet. Love him. Lay down whatever anguish you have, whatever pain you have. Lay that down at his feet. Examine yourself so that you will not be chastised. And let's examine what Jesus did next. The Lord's table is a time to examine what Christ did. Look at verse 23. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Nobody made him do this. He took bread and he said, when he had given thanks, he thanked God for that. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus Christ was not made to die for our sins. He willingly died for our sins. He took his life in his own hands and he said, I give my life to you. And as we take of the Lord's table, we're just overwhelmed by the love that Jesus has for us. He loved us so much, he laid his life down for us. He said, this is my life, and you take this. He handed it out, and he said, take, my body is broken. Even knowing he was going to go to the cross, even knowing as our sins were going to be poured out on him and judged, he loved us enough to lay that life down for us so we could have salvation. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We remember what Jesus did. Jesus, who is God of gods, came to this earth. The Bible says in Colossians, by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth. And all things were created through him and for him. He is preeminent in all things. But this is the God who laid his life down for you so that you could be with God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Praise God for that. The Bible says in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. What does that mean? We're under a new covenant now. I thank God for that. We've got a pretty good custodian in this church. She keeps it clean. She does a great job. Well, we'd have to pay her way more money if she had to clean up after a killing every week. Because that's how people came to God in the Old Testament. There was a sacrifice of an animal without spot and without blemish. And if you might want to write this down, Hebrews chapter 10, and go home and read that. Hebrews chapter 10 gives you the most clear picture of what Jesus has done for us. You see, Hebrews 10 tells us that the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament could not pay for sins. It says the blood of animals could not pay. Because if they could pay, they would have been offered only one time. But in every year, year by year, they were making these sacrifices. That was a reminder to the people that those blood sacrifices, those animal sacrifices, they would not pay forever. But then Jesus came. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10 that when Jesus came by one offering, he made payment for sins forever. Because of what Jesus did, we don't have to sacrifice animals now. Because of what Jesus did, he shed his blood and he brought us into a new covenant, a covenant with God. And by believing on him, we enter into the family of God and we have eternal life. Everybody has a first life, but we have an eternal life, a secondary life that God has promised will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says, and I love this promise in Hebrews 10, 14, by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And if you study that verse, what that means is this, that when you enter into the kingdom of God by faith in Christ, God comes into your life and he starts working on you. And the way you are today is not the way you'll be tomorrow. And every day God is going to work on you until one day you see Jesus in glory. And when you see Jesus in glory, praise God, you'll not have any more sin in you.
Amen.
You'll have a glorified body. And I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
Amen.
When I get to heaven, the Lord's going to look at me and say, you needed a new one. That thing's pure wore out. But there'll be no sin in it, no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow. Praise God for what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
He is perfecting us forever. And he said, I'll never let you go. What a wonderful promise that is. Walmart has a great return promise. But God's promise is a whole lot better than Walmart's. Amen. He says, I'll never return you. I'm going to keep you forever. As we prepare for the Lord's table, we focus upon him who died for us. And Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. He died for you. And he rose again for you. But we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Jerry, would you come lead us in a hymn of invitation? And as we sing this, let's prepare our hearts for the Lord's table.
Turn with me to number 294.
Wow.
please come forward for the Lord's table and prepare the table. The Bible tells us that on the night before Jesus was to be crucified, that at the end of the feast of the Passover, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." Brother Billy, would you bless the bread?
Father, we come to you today, thanking you for just another beautiful Sabbath day. Yes. Thanking you for the privilege of serving at this table. We come to you as humble as we know how. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is the manna that came down from heaven. Not as our fathers ate and died, but Jesus said, "Whosoever eateth me shall live forever." Together, family. On that same night, the Bible says that Jesus took the cup and he said, "Take, drink this cup. It is my blood of the New Testament shed for you." I'm going to ask Brother Buster if you will bless the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for such a beautiful day that you've given us to come out to thy house. Thank you for this cup, dear Lord. Thank you for the liquid that's in it, dear Lord. We know that it's your blood, dear Lord. We are taking it in remembrance of you, dear Lord, and what you've done for us. that followed you. Ask that you bless all the sick. Be with the church as it's going through the cancer for cure, dear Lord. Yes. We just pray that you be the leader and be the spirit that we keep our eyes upon. Yes. Thank you for everything. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yeah. Amen.
Bible tells us, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Together, family. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of what Jesus has done for you. What a Savior we have. The Bible says that after that first Lord's table, they went out into the night. I tell everyone every time I do this now, we are going out into the night. It may be physically daytime, but it's dark with sin in America. The disciples knew they were going out into a dark place, but they knew walking with Jesus that they would overcome, because Christ is an overcomer. As they got ready to go out into that darkness, they sang a song showing their confidence in their Savior. So, Brother Jerry, what are we going to sing today?
We are going to finish up with the Family of God. This morning, both services have been so spirit-filled.
Amen.
And there's been a sense of family and unity that I don't think we felt for a long time in these two services. And it has just been a wonderful experience, at least from my end. So, and just in a one piece of shameless self-promotion, there's still openings after 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to sign up. No. Let us finish the Family of God. It's number 386 in your hymnals if you need it.
My brother Frank Potts, if you would, close us in prayer.
Dear Father, we thank you for the day, for this special service, Lord, and each and every one of the tellers.
Thank you for the wonderful message today, Lord, and thank you for the Lord's supper. Lord, we just pray that you go with us and guide us to our respective homes. We bring us back this evening, Lord, for discipleship training and the nice